How would you like to be a disciple alongside a man the Lord Jesus named the Rock? You're James or John, whom Jesus nicknamed Sons of Thunder for your misplaced judgment. You're Didymus the Twin, which wouldn't be that bad. Or maybe Simon the Zealot, which would be better still, I suppose. And what would be wrong with being the disciple whom Jesus loved? Nothing, except it pales in comparison to the Rock. The Rock is on a roll in our text, isn't he? Opinion polls agree that Jesus is a miraculous man, John the Baptist risen from the dead, a powerful man like Elijah, or a prophetic man. But in the words of Tammy Wynette, after all, he's just a man. Mormons, Muslims, even the Jews will say nice things about Jesus. But for all of them, he's no more than a man. You don't worship a man. You don't pray to a man. You don't trust in a man to save you from death, judgment, and hell. You don't eat the body and drink the blood of just a man. But that's all a first century Gallup poll said Jesus was. Not the Rock. Jesus asked, according to Matthew, who do men say the Son of Man is? The Rock answers, you are the Son of God. Actually, his full answer there is, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ is Greek for the Hebrew Messiah. You're the one foretold since Eden. You're Eve's promised seed. You're Abraham's great reward. You're Isaac's shield. You're Jacob's line from the tribe of Judah. You're David's shepherd. You've all been in a setting where a teacher asks a question. You feel you know the right answer. You can see that others might too, but who will speak out first? To do so is to put yourself out there. Who else would speak first but the Rock? It's important we note what neither Mark's account nor Luke's account does. Matthew 16:17 says, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. People on their own can reach no other conclusion about Jesus than Tammy did. He's just a man. Men can only reach those conclusions that make sense to them. Sins are only what they consider sinful. Adultery, not living together. Forgiveness, only to the extent they think it can happen. Hatred, sure, but probably not murder. And baptism, well, that's plain water, even as absolution is just words, and bread and wine and communion are no more than that. To get beyond what men can reason takes nothing less than the revelation by the Father in heaven. The Rock is given that, but then the Rock cracks. Jesus tells them plainly what it means to be the Christ. Plainly is the Greek for openly, frankly, unambiguously. Not the Son of Man will be lifted up, or tear down this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. I've heard doctors do this. They tell the elderly husband that the wife is sick, maybe sicker than we thought, but there are some treatments available. It's hard to say what the outcome will be. But then they go down the hall to the son and say, she has stage 4 cancer. There's not much that can be done. It's only a matter of months. Well, the Rock and the less than Rock disciples, they get the son talk. It is necessary for the Son of Man, the Christ, to suffer many things, to be rejected after testing, it's a specific Greek word, to be rejected after testing by the highest religious court in the Old Testament church, to be killed, and oh yeah, to rise on the 3rd day. Though all 3 passion predictions have that part about rising again, it never has an effect on the disciples. That's because the suffering, rejecting, and killing overwhelm them, as is plain from the Rock's words here. He takes Jesus aside. The Rock behaves like a big brother who knows better. He doesn't just correct Jesus, though. He rebukes him. That's the same Greek word that insert translates warned, as in Jesus warned them not to tell anybody about him. The word's going to be used again when Jesus responds to the Rock's rebuke. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter, aka the rock. "Get behind me, Satan." That's a very strong word, this rebuke word. It means to reprimand. It means to admonish strongly. It means to enjoin strictly. Let a child do that to a parent. Let an employee do that to an employer. Let a motorist do that to a cop. And that's nothing compared to what the rock does to the one the Father has revealed as the Christ. "You're wrong, Jesus. None of this will ever happen to you. No suffering, no rejecting, no killing, no rising." Well, doesn't it seem the only bad part in the rebuke is that the rock denies the resurrection? No. Skip ahead to Luke 24. There Jesus reveals to the rock and other disciples what they should have known from the Old Testament. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Again, Jesus says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. These are the things of God the rock wasn't minding while he was minding the things of men. So what does minding the things of men rather than the things of God look like for us? It's me putting more stock in the upheaval going on in the world than in the words of our Lord, that he gives me peace in this world. "My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." It's me minding the things, expecting the world to love me, though the Lord promises it will hate me because it hated him. Minding the things of men is me expecting to see the breadbasket full before I pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Minding the things of men is me expecting, contrary to the hymn, to be taken to heaven on flowery beds of ease rather than by the same cross that took my Lord. So the rock cracks, and in a big way. That's why we follow Christ the rock and not Peter. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul refers to the Old Testament church all drinking from the rock that followed them. And then he plainly says, the rock was Christ. Listen to how scripture glories in this rock. Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. God, my God, is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Psalm 18:31, "For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God?" Psalm 18:46, "The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, my Savior." Psalm 19:14, "O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And Deuteronomy 32:18 tells us what we don't want to do. "You deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth." Our rock is a flesh and blood man, but it's not Peter. It's the flesh and blood man conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of a virgin named Mary. I wanted to put on the bulletin cover an image of Marvel Comics' The Thing. He's part of the Fantastic Four. He's a big man made of rock. I wanted him on the cover, but the images look too scary. But think of a man who is a rock, humbling himself, giving up the full use of his superpowers to live under the laws of God that he gave to humanity. Not only does he keep them, he suffers as if he broke every single one of them in every single way every day. He suffers the guilt that you sometimes feel. The rock man suffers the shame you sometimes feel, the dread of being judged by the Almighty God you sometimes feel. Then picture the rock man, the thing, nailed to the cross. This gigantic rock man dies, and in death he is pale, he's weak, and he's soft. That's what really happened to Jesus. But right before he does suffer and pay the last full measure of sins and full measure for the sins and guilts of the world, he says these words. The very last week of his life, just days before dying, which is right before Passover, he quotes Psalm 118, which was sung during Passover. Jesus says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." That's the Bible quote. Then he adds, "Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." Jesus is speaking to the people who are getting up early, going to the temple just to hear him, and to the Old Testament church leaders who are overhearing it all. You know that saying about the anvil that has worn out many a hammer? Well, Jesus is the rock that wears out all that oppose him, all that resist him, all that reject him. But he's also the rock of ages and clefts to safely keep Moses so he can see God's glory, which can only toast sinners. Read about it in Exodus 33 and 34. Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by." The cross is the point where the rock clefts, where the open wounds of Jesus provide shelter for sinners, peace for guilty sinners, courage for frightened ones. So where on earth does this rock cleft for me today? Well, not in the Holy Land. The cleft is not found in your own heart or even in your own believing. We see how not even Peter, the rock, could hold on to Jesus there. No, the rock clefts where heaven's waters flow, where heaven's words are heard, and where heaven himself comes down to earth in his body as bread and his blood as wine. "In these I fall before the rock, and the rock covers me rather than crushes me." And I hear what Moses did. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And this rock of compassion, this rock of grace, this rock of forgiveness calls not just rocks, but pebbles, and even grains of sand. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.